If you were with us last week, you know about stories of triumph and realized dreams. This is our second and final week of this. And on occasion, it's really nice to have these stories so that we can get to know our community members a little better. Somebody came up to me and said, "Now I know the person who sits in front of me or behind me or, you know, and besides just, you know, enjoying together, I really know a little bit of their journey." So the stories you're going to hear this morning are something that I pray about. Immigrants to this country just really touched me in a deep way, because the journey here, and I don't know hardly any of it, I can't imagine what it's like, and it's different for everyone, of course. But our ideals in America are spiritual ideals. What we hold, the promise, the dream of what America is about, inclusivity, equality, justice, happiness, the ability to pursue happiness, all of those ideals, they're still very much alive. I know that there are times, especially of late, that we feel worried and anxious about the fragility and the precious of democracy. And now we see how precious it is. Maybe that's why we are where we are, so we can see how precious it is. Because when we see how precious something is, it is a beacon of light in the world, then we can hold it in a different way, and we can participate in it in a different way, and we can engage more fully, and we can open and welcome the diversity to come and make us stronger and better. So we have two stories today, two immigrants to America. How many in our audience are immigrants to America? Yeah, welcome. We are so glad you made it not only to Unity, but to this country. And we hope you are richly blessed because of it. So one of our stories to begin is the story of Edna Castillo from Guatemala. And Edna is new to us. She's a new member here at Unity. She immediately got involved. She and her husband, Dan Castillo. I don't know if Dan's still here. He was here at the first service. There he is in the back row. They immediately stepped into service, became usher greeters. Edna has taught one of the sessions of my class, and she'll tell a little bit more how she came into the work that she's doing now, so I don't want to be spoiler alert. I don't want to be, what's going to steal your thunder. That's the word, the term I was looking for. So Edna, we are so happy you're here, and we're going to turn it over to you now. Thanks.
Thank you. So I was born as Edna Marina Arevalo Toledo. And I was born in Guatemala City. I was the fourth child of five. And when my mom became pregnant, my dad did not want any more children. As money was tight, he was already holding down two jobs. He was bus driver by day and taxi driver by night. So despite his Catholic upbringing, he pressured my mom to have an abortion. And my mom stood firm, and here I am. Yay! And when I was brought home from the hospital, my brother, Jacob, told my mom, "Take her back. Wait until there's little boys available." My dad's chauvinistic nature had already influenced the little three-year-old. So as a little girl in Guatemala, I was not allowed to go out or play where my brothers were playing from sun up to sundown with all the neighborhood kids. I remember staying home with my younger brother, playing with a ball of masa as if it was Play-Doh. And he was my only friend. And when I was seven, my dad decided to come to the United States. And if things went well, we would join him after the immigration papers were approved. So my dad was sponsored by a friend in San Francisco, and he would send $100 a month to my mom while she supplemented the income by being the neighborhood seamstress. And when I was 10, My mom sold all of our belongings, including our home. We then traveled all across the Mexico to the Tijuana border. All that I can remember about that journey is waking up at rest stops in the middle of the night. We arrived in Tijuana September 23rd, 1973. As we walked across the border, my dad was standing on the other side. I remember he said we looked very short and tiny to him. In school, I was placed in fifth grade, and the teacher showed no interest in having me in his class. But that was a blessing. That was a blessing because that meant I spent more time with my ESL teacher, English as a second language. She was thrilled to have me and teach this little bright, hungry to learn little girl. This, along with having to interact with the other kids, really helped me develop my skill in English very quickly. And I wasn't shy. But the immigrant population in that school was bullied. And I saw how other immigrants obeyed the demands of their bullies, and that made them even be victimized even more. So when my classmate, Sheila Love, demanded that I tie her untied shoelaces, I refused to obey. Like, no way. So that led to us fighting that day and us being expelled from school. But that event, just, it made me show up differently in life. Made me show up differently as other immigrants. I didn't want to be around immigrants. I didn't want to be seen as them. I didn't want to hang around them. So I didn't identify with them, and my ticket to success was really losing a part of myself. And in sixth grade, the other Spanish speaker in the class had no desire to be my friend because I was an immigrant, and she looked down on me. But meanwhile, Mrs. Lee, my sixth grade teacher, was engaging and supportive, and her recommendations for me to be in honor classes really changed my life. From then on, I was considered intelligent to my peers and teachers. I maintained the growing duality of being in a Spanish-speaking home with traditional values and part of that social American experience. I was also the bridge to my parents, since my siblings had not caught on to the English language as quickly or as fluently or with enough confidence as I had. So I often also translated and attended adult events for my parents so they could understand. My assimilation into the U.S. society was natural. It was as though I was meant to be here all along. And while in junior high, my dad's chauvinistic nature literally held me back. School ended at 3, and he demanded I be home by 3:15 or else. I was also the cook in the family. My mom would get home from work at 6, so I was responsible for fixing dinner. And by then, my sister had already moved out with her boyfriend, so that made it even more difficult for me. I was the only girl to help my mom, and my dad could not lose me as he had my sister. I was forbidden to participate in school activities. My brothers played soccer and had fun. My parents even purchased a car for them when they were in high school. And I bought my own car after I graduated from college. My dad wanted to enroll me in Catholic school to keep me away from the boys, while I wanted to attend Lowell High School, the prestigious, well-known academic school. And I was accepted to Lowell. So I stood my ground, and even with the threat of being sent back to Guatemala, I worked hard in school and applied myself to get good grades. And my dad's strictness just continued. I started to date a particular guy that I thought my dad would approve of. And when he proposed, I knew that it would be a traditional gender marriage. And initially I said no, but eventually I gave in. We were married by the Catholic Church till death do us part. Augustine was threatened when I aspired to be more, to do more. And when I was 6 months pregnant with our daughter, he took his only week off from vacation to go and visit his mom for Mother's Day. So how would he bond and help me when our daughter was born? The unspoken answer was that he wouldn't. The first week of motherhood was horrible since I had had a C-section and I lacked full mobility. And my husband wasn't there. And there, one of many actions that eroded our marriage, our trust, our faith in each other. And I still intended to keep those vows that I promised to God to stay married forever. So as I lived in this unhappy marriage, my daughter was the reason I was divorced. I wanted to break the cycle of disempowerment and subordination. I wanted to liberate her from having that experience that had kept me so small. So being a single mom of two allowed me to then see how God supported my growth, my career, my life, and despite being a devout Catholic, that's when I started to explore new thought ideas. So when my son was 9, I desired to have a partner that would help me raise a father figure, that would help me raise a man that honored women and saw women as equals. So one day when I was journaling, I wrote the qualities that I want in my husband. And a year later, Dan entered my life. We were married after dating a year. And yeah, he helped me raise my son. He's a young man that honors women. He's 20 now. You know, my dad passed away 4.5 years ago, and he experienced a lot of change. Just seeing me blossom and seeing me grow. He and I really had a very special bond. He had a very special bond with my kids also. So my life has taken a spiritual shift that I would never have expected. Today, I'm a life coach. And through Mary Morrissey's Brave Thinking Institute, I was certified. My husband has supported that journey. And starting with that huge price tag attached to being a life coach under her institute, he jokes about it. And he says, you know, it's just like me getting a second college degree. And there's been times in building my business that I've wondered out loud if I should go back to a regular paycheck. But Dan says, no, you're meant to be a coach. It lights you up. You make a difference. He has never wavered from full support. He reminds me of my calling, and he lifts me up as I hope I do him. My daily meditation practice led me to unity. After asking, what's the next step that I need to take? That's an everyday conversation that I have with Spirit. Mary Morrissey's teachings helped me heal from breast cancer and propelled my life purpose to help others heal their bodies and their minds and transform their lives. And because of that experience, I am now an author. This book will be published on October 10th. This is a prototype. And I wrote Living Your Intuitive Genius, How to Tap Into Your Soul, Heal Your Body, Mind, and Spirit with the principles of unity, the spiritual principles that I practice, the spiritual principles that I teach and coach. My long-term dream is to set up a foundation for young indigenous girls of Guatemala that's tied to education and self-sufficiency. So the bullying and the prejudices of others along the way have made me want to succeed. My dad's and ex-husband's chauvinism propelled me to find my inner guidance, to attract an equal partner, and raise my son, honoring women, and a confident daughter. Steve Jobs had a saying, we can't connect the dots looking forward. We can only connect them looking backwards. So as I connect the dots of my past, I see the intelligence in that all that I was, all the lessons that I learned, all the experiences that I had, because those are the blessings. They're the foundation for the work that I do now. And I trust the divine intelligence to walk with me as I connect the dots into my future. Every day I wake up with the curiosity about what's ahead. I love my life.
Thank you so much, Edna. Our second storyteller, where is he hiding? How does the big man hide? Dimitri Doronkin, many of you know, he's been on our board for two terms. He's finishing up his second term, so almost 6 years you have served us on the board. You realize that? And he's taught a bit here. He has an upcoming workshop, and I've noticed a specialty of yours, Dimitri, and that is financial prosperity.
Right. That's so, right. Financial prosperity. Yes. You better be clear about this.
So his upcoming workshop is the money shower.
Hey,
so
you can, we can look shower for that. Some money. You will be amazed. Just come on over.
He came here from the country Uzbekistan, and I'm going to turn it over to him now to hear his story.
Thank you, Kristen. Oh, well, I'm really glad Casey's here. You know my daughter? But you know that her name is not Casey. Xenia. And this is actually the reason we start calling her Casey, because Xenia is very hard to pronounce for kids. So when she went to school, to preschool, and some kids just kind of like said, Sushak, Sushak, Sympathy, some kind of like, and say, okay, listen, we're going to call you Casey. In fact, when she was playing basketball on her jersey, on the back was Xenia Casey Doronkina, which is what I think was pretty cool. And I'm really glad she's here because I think most of the things you never realized how it was because she was just 1.5 when we came here. All right, so let's begin. How it's end up, how I even end up here? So I was thought about it and I thought about it, and you know how we always like to blame people? Something will happen to us? Hey, I can tell you a few ones. So the first person I would blame would be, his name was Mikhail Sergeyevich Gorbachev. In 1984, he became a first secretary of Communist Party of the Soviet Union. And for whatever reason, in 1985, he decided to open up the country to the West. And so he did. And West opened up to us. And we've been flooded with all kind of information, ideas. And then the second person popped up. It's my mom. For whatever reason, around 1987, 88, she said, hey, we're going to go to America. I was 18. I have no idea what she's talking about. 10 years later, when I was already married, I have 2 kids, I told this to my wife. One day I came home and I said, hey, we're going to go to America. But I'm really glad most of you are not immigrants because you probably not realize to say I'm going to America and actually come to America, it's very 2 big different things. And there's a different ways how you come to America. My way was to hire a lawyer. So I'm very proud of it. Before even I come here, I already have my own lawyer. That's how important I am. Took us 10 months to do all the paperwork. But at the same time, you know how you do things out there, somebody do things for you out there, but you have to do your own work? At that time, we've been really into this New Thoughts movement, build civilization, you know, good thoughts and everything. We read some books from Louise Hay, which is we love. So we were doing this our work. Every evening, my wife and I doing some affirmation, some visualization. So 1 year later, after my phrase, hey, we go to America, we'll land it to New York Airport, John Kennedy Airport. And ask who's the first person I saw. Once we got out of the customs, is my brother. And he told me, welcome to America. Do you want ice cream? And to say truth about my brother, he really likes ice cream. In fact, he's so addicted to ice cream, he has a special box with the key. So he put ice cream in the box and then hide the key to another box with a timer on it. How crazy is this? But I'm sorry, I'm off the script. I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. The first 3 years was absolutely horrible. Hardest 3 years in my life. Because I don't want to go into details. Doesn't matter. It was just hard. I love to be here. I love to live here. But just to accumulate all of this change, get a job, support your family. But that 3 years taught me that what is God is for me. You see, before I came here, my idea of God was, okay, there is a God somewhere there. See? Somewhere there. But when you go through a struggle, then you realize, I realize, that it's not there. The God is here. The God is with me. There is a story which most of you probably know. An old man died and went to heaven, met God, and God enrolled a long script in front of him. And on the script, on this roll, man can see 2 pair of footprints. And one was this man, and another was a God. And in one place, the hardest time in man's life, you can see only 1 footprint, pair of footprints. And the man cry out, how could you? How could you forgotten about me, about this my hardest time? And God said, I didn't. I carry you in my hands. Now, I want to be clear here. I am too heavy that the God would carry me on his hand. But that was a time, really. Something really changed, you know, when you go with this kind of struggle. And of course, a few years later, bam, bam, bada boom, we bought a house. My wife was driving Lexus. My kid was going private school. I thought, this is it. This is American dream. I made it. And 5 years later, everything just broke down. We lost everything. We lost the house, returned the Lexus, credit was ruined. We have to go in an old house, live in Martinez, has to buy a used Toyota Prius. And that time, when you really lose all your possessions, when you really lose everything you worked so hard for 10 years, what was my revelation? That God is not here, there, not even here. God is here. That was the feeling. That God is with me. And it's not just with me, but in me, and I am in it. Four years later, someone, and I know who, this actually was famous Lisa Nichols, was she put some video of Reverend David on a Facebook page, on her personal Facebook page. And my wife saw it, and she showed to me that video, and she told me, hey, next Sunday, I want to go to that church. And I said, hey, I want to go too. Yeah. So we show up next Sunday. John was here. He was hovering around us. Mike, where's Mike? Mike was here. He was outside. So we just like, we've been like this, like chickens. All right, what's going on? What's happening? Like, come on, people, meditate at the service? Oh, Jesus. I never experiencing anything like this in my life. Handing hands and do like this and sing. Oh. Whoa, I thought, what kind of house I came in? Jesus Christ, come on. All right. But Reverend David that Sunday said something which is, that's it for me. I was like, whoa. He was talking about Jesus. And he said, Jesus said blah, 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 blah. And then he stopped himself and he said, I have to comment on this. He said, this is not what Jesus said. This is what the Bible said Jesus said. And I turned to my wife and I almost cried. And I said, this is our church. We got it. We got it, baby. So we've been so anxious to become a member because, you see, we have this setup, right? You have the forms. You can, sign up forms or whatever on the back of each other seat. So we want to become a member. So we've been so pushy on this for the next few weekends. So the Sheila, Reverend Sheila, she said, you have to. Like, why, Sarah? Like, you don't have to be a member. It's just for the voting. It's just for the... Yeah, we said, hey, you don't understand. We want to be. We want to be a member of this church. So we did. And the rest of history. You see, our memory, it's like the stars above us. We don't really remember our past. We remember these big events, either the hurtful events or significant events or something, for whatever reason, you remember. And when you think about these events, it's like the stars above you kind of like open up and light up in your memory. I'm so grateful that I have this opportunity to line up my stars above me for you. Thank you.
I specifically wanted these two to stand next to each other. This is America. We are so happy you have made this spiritual home your home. Thank you both for your stories today. Bless you.